For a closer look at the real estate market, we're joined by Motoko Rich in our New York bureau. She covers real estate for the New York Times, and we've also got in our Washington, D.C. studios, Dr. Maya Rockymore. She's the Vice President of Research and Programs for the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. Welcome to you both, and Motoko, let me just jump in and start with you. Tell us what some of the analysts and investors you're interviewing are saying. Is real estate really a viable and valuable means of building wealth, or is the market too volatile and complex for the average Jane and John Doe?
Hi, Farai. I think that you're hearing both. I think that in general, people view real estate as a very important component of building wealth because it's the largest asset that most people will ever buy. And over the long haul, say over the past 50 or 60 years that real estate prices have been tracked on a national level, the prices have always gone up. On the other hand, real estate is a very local thing. You buy a home in a particular market and it doesn't really matter what's happening if in other parts of the country. It matters what's happening in your part of the country. And if the prices happen to go down at a point when you need to sell, that could be a problem.
You know, while I was at this expo, which was extraordinarily packed with people, people were talking about the concept of a bubble, meaning that real estate prices have gotten so high and increased for so many months or years that it's about to take a big hit. In California, the real estate market grew by about 16% in 1 year alone. Is that a sign of trouble?
It could be. I mean, in particular, in places like California, also other markets where the growth has been even more dramatic, like in Las Vegas, where last year, I believe, housing prices rose by something like over 40%. A lot of economists are looking and saying it can't go on. And I think one of the issues that some economists point out is that people not just are buying their own homes, but like some of the people you met at the expo are buying second, third, fourth homes with the expectation that prices will continue to go up in the future as they have in the past. And a lot of economists will say that history is not a reliable predictor of what's going to happen into the future, particularly as real estate is a kind of thing where if you're going to buy something as an investment, you would hope to be able to cover your mortgage payments with the rent. And a lot of people are buying properties where the rents no longer cover the mortgage payment. And that, some economists say, is a very dangerous position.
Dr. Rockymore, now you run two programs at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. One is a student home ownership program and one is for older adults. There, on the one hand, are these markets like the Bay Area in California and New York City that are just going nuts. And on the other hand, a lot of black homeowners are in areas where there are abandoned homes or the market is really not doing that well. How do you factor in these questions of the market into how you counsel the people in your programs?
Hello, Farai. Well, any city that you locate in, it's all about location, location, location. The whole notion of buying in an abandoned area could be a good thing. For example, in Washington, D.C., many areas that were seemingly depressed because of gentrification, if you bought 5 years ago and, you know, there were many abandoned homes around, then you made out like a bandit, so to speak, over the next 5 years because prices have gone up by 50% in some areas. And it's not like that in all cities across America. So it's important for people, we tell people to make sure that they factor in location when they're selecting their homes. And so we have our With Ownership Wealth program for our adult population, and then we have our Student Home Ownership Opportunity program for students who are in college who are about to graduate, where we teach them that they can actually build wealth by carefully purchasing property upon graduation.
So what should first-time buyers beware of when they're looking around? I mean, like I was mentioning, there's people in all sorts of different income situations and all sorts of different neighborhoods. What issues do the people in your programs bring to the table in terms of credit histories or looking for a neighborhood to buy in?
We started our With Ownership Wealth program 5 years ago in 2001, and we said we wanted to close the home ownership gap in this country. We found that many of the people who were interested in the program had poor credit, meaning that they were not qualified to move into homes at that time. So we had to actually have a hands-on approach with them, walking them through the steps of credit awareness, sound financial practices, as well as home ownership counseling. And so credit is a huge issue in the African-American community. In fact, it was so huge for the adult population that we found that we had to target a younger demographic, and that is why we started the Student Home Ownership Opportunity Program, focusing on college college seniors. However, we've now found that even college seniors, after 4 years in school being targeted by credit card companies, have ruined their credit by the time that they're seniors. And so now we're looking at even an earlier program to teach students the, you know, best practices when it comes to financial awareness and planning. So credit is a huge issue.
Motoko, follow up on that with these issues of loans. What is a subprime loan and what sorts of options are people given when they have bad credit? Are there any risks to these subprime loans?
Right. The mortgage lending community has come up with an increasing array of new products to help people, particularly with housing prices increasing. People have a harder time affording a monthly payment as the price of the home that they're about to jump into increases. And so some of the products that they have come out with are things that are so-called adjustable rate or interest-only loans, where the buyer may only have to pay interest rather than also pay off the actual price of the home in the first 5, 7, or 10 years of the loan. There are also some very specialized products called option-only option ARMs, which are, again, adjustable rate mortgages, which means that the rate will change after a certain period of time, and then that each month they will have an option to pay 4 different types of payments, some of which are actually lower than the amount that they would owe over the long term, which means that they're accruing more debt at the end of the loan. So the risk, of course, then is if the housing prices don't continue to rise and they're counting on that as a way of helping them pay off the loan later, perhaps by selling the home, that could be a problem. One of the statistics that I looked at recently is that something like over 60% of subprime loans, and subprime loans are the kinds of loans that are tended to be offered to people with poor credit because the bank is taking a higher risk by taking on that borrower, so they may charge a higher rate. Over 60% of those loans issued, I believe, a year or two ago were adjustable rate, which means that in the environment where we are now, which is that interest rates are rising, that at some point, if the rates go so high that the borrower can no longer afford their monthly payment, that could, again, be a problem. So those are the risks that some of the economists are looking at right now.
And Motoko, what you're saying sort of sounds like credit cards. When people pay only the minimum payment, then you end up getting more and more debt because all of this interest accrues. Is that similar in this case?
That's an absolutely perfect analogy, that what you're paying off is just the interest that you owe rather than the actual debt that you've built up. And so what you get into this kind of trap where all you're doing is paying interest, and then the rate rises, and so you're paying more interest, but you're never actually paying down your debt.
Dr. Rockymore, you know, when you're dealing with college students and first-time home buyers, you know, not everybody has the breadth of knowledge to know exactly what's right. What kind of directions do you point people in, all of the people listening today who are thinking, well, you know, I really want to buy a home. Where should people look for good, solid information?
Well, we work with financial planners. We actually bring certified financial planners into the classroom to talk to the students about their options. And so with that, they get sound credit counseling advice. And so there are a number of organizations out there that are focused on credit awareness and credit counseling. And so we encourage the students to seek more advice. There is the FDIC actually has a credit awareness program that we use as a curricula. And so we need to, so we use that in the classroom, and the students benefit from it. What we tell them is that, you know, we take them through the steps, and we talk about option ARMs and all of the other types of vehicles that are out there, and talk about what the best option is for them upon graduation. Many of these come from generations of renters, and they've never ever thought about actually owning a home themselves. And so it's very important that they tread carefully, and information is power.
All right. That's a great place to leave it. Information is power. Motoko Rich covers real estate for the New York Times, and Dr. Maya Rockymore is Vice President of Research and Programs for the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.